Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 16 of Connecting with CAN, a podcast dedicated to sharing Kuwait Aid Network's experiences on working with migrant workers. I'm your host, Caleb Sanders, and on today's podcast, we have Mariam, CAN's research director, and we'll be talking about social exclusion and discrimination. Hi, Mariam. Thank you for being on the podcast today. My first question is, if you had to describe it, what is social exclusion?
Hi, Caleb. Thanks for having me. I'd say that social exclusion is when not everyone in society has equal access to resources or services or opportunities to live a decent life. And a lot of the time, unequal access can look like, you know, not having access to basic things like electricity, safe drinking water, healthcare, education, or even not having access to good infrastructure that supports all these things. And, you know, also not being able to make their voice heard in the society they live in. And, you know, these kind of communities become marginalized because of this unequal access. And when you have that kind of social exclusion, really what you get is you'd have like levels of it because when you have one aspect of social exclusion, it can also impact other areas of your life. For example, not being able to receive adequate education prevents individuals from getting well-paying jobs, which makes, you know, other aspects of their life difficult. And, you know, when people don't have adequate access to housing, it makes other parts of their life also difficult. And, you know, people can be excluded from society for multiple reasons. And, you know, these aren't really limited to just, you know, their race or ethnicity, their social status, their gender, and, you know, multiple other reasons. But in Kuwait's case, you know, social exclusion occurs predominantly because of race, class, and nationality. For example, you know, migrant workers can be affected by this and you know, not get well-paying jobs, live in poor accommodations, where they don't have basic necessities, and, you know, the numerous other things that we've talked about in the past, but really, you know, a lot of them suffer from physical exclusion, you know, exclusion that is based in even urban planning, where you have areas that are predominantly migrant worker communities or physically segregated from the rest of society. And, you know, these are examples of direct discrimination. But, you know, indirect discrimination can also include infrastructure not being accessible, for example, for disabled individuals. And, you know, in Kuwait, something like, you know, the lowering of the age that migrant workers can work in to 60 is something that has caused a lot of issues for a lot of people in Kuwait who have been in Kuwait for, you know, for many years. You know, migrant workers that have given so much back to Kuwaiti society, you know, now there's specific rules that prohibit them from working. And so this is one way that's excluding them. And so, you know, people who face these kind of social exclusion and discrimination often live in poverty because of this inability to afford basic things like, you know, housing, food, healthcare. And ethnic minorities are, you know, at more of a disadvantage because of the disproportionate amounts of discrimination they face, which results to, you know, more minorities living in poverty. And so it's really kind of a cycle that just continues to happen because of the conditions of the system that they live in. And so, you know, being socially excluded is you know, looks like multiple things, and it has multiple reasons for occurring.
All right, so now we know what social exclusion is, and you kind of touched on how it impacts different groups of people, but I'd like to hear a bit more about how it directly impacts migrant workers.
I'd say that, you know, in Kuwait, migrant workers are not really viewed as equals to Kuwaiti nationals, but, you know, more like less than, and, you know, they really face a lot of social discrimination in society and exclusion, because they're seen as, you know, unequal to Kuwaiti nationals. And, you know, this creates a lot of issues in society when you have the kind of different social classes that don't necessarily integrate with each other. And, you know, you have specific classes that don't want the integration to happen at all. And, you know, this creates many kind of misconceptions and stereotypes. And a lot of kind of xenophobia comes out of this kind of thinking. And, you know, this is how people become racist. This is how people become prejudiced, is when this kind of behavior is encouraged, that there should be separation between society. And, you know, this has kind of led really for many Kuwaiti nationals to have, you know, specific formed ideas about, you know, who migrant workers are. And these ideas aren't necessarily always nice. And, you know, there's always kind of specific associations with migrant workers, that they're supposed to be, you know, from lower classes, that they're supposed to, you know, do menial jobs that people look down on, you know, like cleaning and things that, you know, Kuwaiti nationals themselves don't consider honorable to do, or, you know, good enough for them to do. And so, you know, when you kind of have these formed ideas about who the people are on top and who, you know, quote unquote, the people who are on, you know, in the bottom, it really kind of creates social dynamics that are not healthy in society. And, you know, a lot of Kuwaiti nationals will actively ignore or, you know, fail to acknowledge that that there is this kind of disproportionate amount of social exclusion that migrant workers face. And, you know, especially when it comes to being unable to access basic necessities. And often the response is, you know, to any kind of complaint from migrant workers is like, you know, people will say, well, if you don't like it here, then you should go back to your country, without realizing that, you know, a lot of expats, you know, might not have this option, where they need to be, you know, in Kuwait to provide for their families, or they want to be in Kuwait because they've lived there their whole lives and consider themselves from the country. And also, it's not really a valid response to give to someone who's, you know, critically talking about how things are affecting their lives. And so, you know, because migrant workers don't really necessarily have this kind of have a platform really to advocate for themselves, and because, you know, Kuwaiti nationals a lot of the times, you know, try to kind of scrub that image of you know, the fact that there's people who are struggling, it creates kind of situations that worsen over time, and with social exclusion it becomes a very prominent issue in society.
All right, well, that's amazing. Thank you so much for your information. And thank you all for listening to this episode of Connecting with Can. We hope you're having a wonderful day, and we'll see you next week. Stay connected.